I got a message that I preach about every 3 years, and I'm going to preach it. It's three parts. So if you don't like this week, you're not going to like Sunday. If you don't like, if you don't like this week, you're not going to like Wednesday. If you don't like Wednesday, you're not going to like next Sunday. Because it's three parts, and I'm getting it all in before we move into the Easter season. Come on, somebody. So we can get the real reason for the seasons. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to us today about money. David said he invited a fellow to come to church one time, David Dotson. He invited the church, a guy to come to church, and the only time I'd ever, the whole time he'd been coming, I preached on money. It was that day, and the guy left. He said, I don't go back all that preach talk about money. Well, if you know me, I don't preach about money all the time, but you know money is in the scriptures, and I want to help you today. How many of you know that groceries are high, eggs are high, and gasoline's high, and all the other stuff, it's just high. Insurance keeps going up, and it's like, boy, can we handle any more of this? Well, I'm going to tell you, you can. Amen? You can. Amen? With the grace of God, you can. And so I want to start this three-part series with this thought. Everybody wants it. Everybody needs it. Everybody talks about it. But if you talk about it in the church, it becomes the sin of all sins. The preacher's just money hungry. That's what they say, right? And the devil rears his ugly head when you talk about money in the church. But I'll tell you one thing. If you come in here this morning and you had no chairs to sit on, you'd be upset. Be your last Sunday to come to church. At church don't even have any pews, nothing to sit on. If the lights didn't work, you'd sit in the dark. You'd be all upset. Well, it's because of money that you can sit on soft chairs. Because of money that you have lights on. It's because of money that I have one side of the church mad because it's too hot and the other side because it's too cold. Come on. Some of you'd say, well, if it'd be warmer in here, wish we didn't have money. The other says, well, if we didn't have money, we'd be colder. You know, you just got this barrage of stuff, but money is important. Our little saying around here, if you're visiting, it's not about the money, but it's all about the money. We got to have money. Not one time have we called up the Entergy to pay where we get our lights and said, man, we got three people saved this week. And they've said, well, you don't have to pay your light bill. You get a pass. They don't care if people get saved in your church or not. What they need is a check. Amen? Try that at your house. Try not paying your bills at the house. See what happens. You don't have what you've been paying on shortly. They repossess that. Amen? And so I want to talk to you about money. So what does the money, or what does the Bible say about you having money? Again, if you're new here, I am not a prosperity preacher. Matter of fact, I despise prosperity preaching. I think it's from the devil. I think they've taken it totally wrong. But is prosperity, is there a portion of it in the Bible? Yes, absolutely, okay? God wants you to prosper so you can be a blessing to the kingdom. How do you help poor people? All right, some of you listen to me over the years, don't be poor. Poor people can't help poor people, right? If they could, we wouldn't be sending orphanage money to Uganda to feed orphanage children. Because they're poor. They can't help each other. Amen? So, what does the Bible say about money? Well, let's answer the first question that's on everybody's mind or will be on you. Does God want you to prosper? Now, some believe that God, the more broke you are, the closer you are to God. But I don't believe that. I've been broke, and I was close to God. I've had a little bit, and I'm close to God. It's all in what you purpose in your heart to do. Well, that would have been a great amen right there. What do you purpose in your heart to do? You can love God greatly and have things, money, and you can not have anything and love God that way too. You can. There's no right or wrong here, but God is not trying to keep you broke, beat down, and beat up so you'll love him. Now, if you have a money management problem, he may do that for you. Come on, somebody. But that's not his plan. You get to make choices. So let's look. if you don't believe that God wants you to prosper, then you don't really believe all the Bible. Watch this. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. The word of God says this, beloved, he's talking to the brethren. When he says beloved, brethren, saints, he's talking to the church, okay? He's talking to believers. When you hear, when a scripture starts that away, he's saying, okay, I'm at a church somewhere talking to some believers, or I'm at a group of people addressing some believers, all right? So we're talking about Christians, all right? He says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in some things, not money, but some things. How many? All things. Nothing's left out, from money to, as we're fixing to learn, to your spiritual life. I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health. Amen. Some of you don't want to be healthy because you're afraid you're going to quit, your disability going to cut off, and you ain't going to know what to do. I'm not against you. Look, if you need disability, stay on it. Amen. Glory to God. That's why I pay taxes, help you. Come on, somebody. But if you're abusing the system, you need to get off of it. You're against God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good amen there. Woo! I believe that I pray, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. The Lord wants you to prosper. Now, he differentiates in this scripture. He's not talking about spiritual things only. He says, I want you to prosper in all things like your soul, the spirit man. And this weird talks about the spirit man prospers. He says, I want that to prosper, number one, but I want your other things to prosper with it, right along with it. So God's saying, my first goal here is I want your stuff to prosper as your soul prospers. In other words, I want you to grow spiritually, exponentially fast, but I also want you to prosper in all things. And all things means money. Your relationships, come on, your attitudes, your marriage, come on, your church family continuity. Come on, he wants us to prosper in all things. And in all things is money. I don't know about you, but I have been broke before. And I have not been broke because you bless me and my family. And I like this side way more than the other side. Come on, somebody. This is so much better. Glory to God. That's shouting grounds. Amen. The word prosper here means to be well off, to be successful, to grant a successful issue. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to grow. It's not so you can have more. There's nothing wrong with you having more. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. So he wants you to prosper. Let me give you my analogy so this will go for the next three sermons. A purpose of a water hose is to get water from a spigot to a desired point, usually on dry grass. I don't know why we do that. We water grass so we can go buy an expensive mower to mow the grass over and over all year. Dumb thing, amen? Okay, just glory to God. How do we? No, I'm kidding. I'd use Roundup if I had it. So the purpose of this water hose is to get water from a spigot to a desired point. In the process of its doing its job, getting water to there, the water hose gets wet. You ever thought about that? It gets wet. Think of this financially. God uses you if you're prosperous to get money to an orphanage in Uganda, to get money to missionaries that we support around the world. He uses money. You're the water hose. Come on. And you're the spigot is where the money comes from. That'd be God. Come on. And this money flows through you to get to these places. But in the process, you have financial increase. You can take a water hose and lay it out, especially these old cheap water hoses nowadays, lay it out in the sun, and I'm telling you, next summer you go through it, and it looks like a shower head. They're just not made of much. But you can take that same cheap water hose, and if you keep water running through it, where it keeps pliable and keeps moisture, that thing will last for years. That's successful. And that's what the Bible talks about. He wants you to prosper, be successful with money. Not so you can hoard up. Look, you'll gain increase just because you're funneling. And when God sees he can use you with money, he can use you doing anything because money is the only thing the Bible talks about that there's two gods of. There's God of mammon and there's the God. We'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks. So how can we define, how can we define or put into perspective what being prosperous really is? It is having enough provision to accomplish the vision that God has put in your heart. It is having enough provision to accomplish the vision that God's put in your heart. For it's a church, God's put it on our heart to feed orphans, to send missionaries around the world. That's the vision. And God has provided, he does every month, he provides the provision to meet the vision of the heart of the church. What's your vision? Is your vision all about you? Is your vision, get me everything I can, let me store it up and be greedy? Some people are that away. I had knew this person one time. I was a youth pastor. And this person was well off. I'm talking about like well off. I'm talking about like deep pockets down to the ankle, you know, area. I'm talking about deep pockets. And this person called me and said, hey, I want to give some money. We're going on a trip. We had this big bus rented, a diesel bus, held about 30 people. You know, and at this time I had CDL license and they were letting me drive it. And this person said, I want to give you some money for your trip. I went, glory to God, hallelujah. So I go to this person's house and I pull up and at this time I was driving a Ford Taurus company car. And so I pulled up there and this guy meets me in the driveway. And so I'm sitting in my car, and he's kind of leaning over, and he pulls out this big old fat wallet. Glory to God. I'm thinking, Jesus. Whoa. I see him open that wallet, and, man, he's just thumbing through $100 bills and stretched tens. I'm thinking, whoa, he counting them out for me. Glory to God. Gets to the back pile and pulls out a 20 and says, I hope this helps you. God left my spirit just like that. I wanted to say, what are you doing? $20 would just make that thing mad. You hear me? $20 worth of deal won't even crank it. I tell that story to say, some of us are greedy. Some of you in this building are greedy. You'll pass 100 to get to a 20, no matter how hard it is to give it to the Lord. Some of you asked, if we did pass the plate, you mean I got a five, can you give me some change? Y'all remember the days, come on somebody, you older church folk, you remember the days when you put five in the plate and you lean over and say, to the usher, bring me some change. Some of y'all ain't raising your head because you know you did that. My daddy was the world, put a five in and say, bring me $4 back. Hey, it's all right if you're visiting today. It's all right to have fun in church. But you're going to get this message, amen? Amen. If prosperity is bad for a Christian, why did God restore Job twice what he had? Think about it. These are just simple questions. If prosperity is bad, things are bad, why did God give Job twice what he had before he took it? Boys, to get rid of some of that old crazy mentality in our minds about God don't want you to have money. Did you know most of the people that God started out using in the Old Testament, most all of them, had money, had things. There's a guy named Abraham. Kind of remember him. Lot. They got so much stuff they had to split up. Their herds got so big. He said, you got to go this way and I got to go this way. Old Jacob, he just loved the Lord when he didn't have nothing. His father-in-law kind of duped him a couple of times. I don't know what was worse, stealing the cattle or giving him two wives. Come on, somebody. You know I love you ladies, right? Amen. But he prospered him so much that his sheep and cattle started having twins. Double. I mean, that's good stuff, isn't it? There's this guy named, I don't know, Solomon. You ever heard of him? Kind of the richest guy that's ever lived, so to speak. I don't know. God used him. King David. Hear about him? Hey, amen. Yeah, but what about old brother Paul? Just broke and beat down. Well, I don't know if he was or not. He worked, I know that. Bible said he had a job. He was a tent maker. I don't know what tent makers did, but it was pretty lucrative business back in those days, if you think about it. Come on, somebody. I'm just saying, the disciples, what about the disciples? They left everything. They owned business. So they had a fishing business. Do you know when Jesus was, when he died and he was in for 3 days, where did the fishermen go back to? Fishing. God is not mad at you and doesn't want you to have stuff or have a business or be prosperous. He's okay with that. He's not okay with you when you turn your back on him and say, look, I've prospered. Deuteronomy 8:18 says it is God who gives you the power to get wealth. He's not okay when you turn your back and say, I'm going to hoard this all up on my own. I'm going to put this in my account and nobody's going to touch it. If somebody asks me for $5, I'm going to just be all upset. My grandpa used to say, now, a dollar between me and you is just friendship. $5 is a business transaction. He was tight. You hear what I'm saying? He was tight. Come on, somebody. Big Shannon up there looking at little Mike. And little Shannon said, all right, boy, y'all just heard that. And the dollar's all right, but $5 business transaction. Yeah. Papa's stepping in up there. Mm-hmm. God wants you to prosper in order to fulfill his word. Woo, watch this. In Proverbs 13:22, says that a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. He's okay with you having money. He's okay so much that he says, I'll take the wealth of the sinner and lay it up for the just. How does that happen? Well, you got to be willing to funnel that through you to get to where God wants you to go. Amen? Amen? This is good stuff. It's good stuff. Just, so in order for you to, if God doesn't want you to prosper, but he tells you a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, how can you do that if you have zero? How can you leave it to your grandkids, leave money, some money to your grandkids, things, possessions, whatever, to your grandchildren if you have nothing? Okay, let's do math. Zero plus zero is zero. Zero minus zero is still zero. So if you have zero, you can't give anything. If you multiply zero times zero, it's still zero. You know, that's the only number that does that, if you call that a number. It's just zero. So God wants you to have some, so you can be a blessing to your grandchildren. I'm still waiting on mine, amen. They say it's a trickle-down effect. Y'all ever heard that word? You got a trickle-down effect?
Yeah.
I'd settle for a drop. Come on, somebody, you ever been that way? You just want a drop. I don't need it to trickle. I just need one drop. Amen? You can't serve money. Money should serve you. Here's the biggest hang up with money. When people are greedy, they're serving money. Remember, there was a story I heard several years ago that this guy, he had saved a lot of money, and every day he hid it in the woods because he was afraid somebody's going to steal it. So he went and hid it in the woods, buried it, put it in a vault system, and he would go out every day and get this and count it, make sure it's all there. And he'd done this every day, and some young people got to notice, and he was going to the woods, so they followed him one day. He got into the woods, and they saw that he opened up this box, and man, there's a load of money in there, and he's counting all this money. And so they watched him. He closed it. Well, during the night, those young kids went back, and they stole all of his money. The next day, the guy goes out, and he opens it up, and it's gone, and he's just beside himself. He tells the authorities, somebody stole my money, and I don't have it anymore. And one of the authorities said, well, what was you going to do with it? He said, well, nothing. I just want to know it was there. And the guy says, well, you hadn't lost anything. If you wasn't doing anything with it, you hadn't lost anything. And that's kind of the way the money is. Yeah, we kind of lost it, but what are you doing with it? What are you doing with money? Are you serving money, or does money serve you? It's very hard. That's a very complex thing to not let money serve you or not let you serve money. It's very difficult. You have to pay attention. So let me help you with this. In Matthew 6:24, No one, this is what the Bible says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. We could stop right there, but the Lord instructed the writers of Matthew to add this sentence. You cannot serve God and mammon. As if you didn't understand you could only serve one master. He says, now let me be very clear what I'm talking about. The context is money. You can't, if you look up mammon, it'll say God of money. You can't, he's telling you, you can't serve me and serve the God of money. You can't serve money and serve me. Money has to serve you. You have to be in control of your money. I talk to a lot of people in a lot of places about money. Pastor, how do I do this? What do I do this? Hey, friend, how do I do this? Well, do you have a budget? Nope, don't have no budget. Then you're serving money. Oh, preacher, you just talked to me. Okay. I was talking to somebody here. Glad you're here. If you don't know where your money's going at the end of the month, you're scrambling trying to rob Peter to pay Paul, and now you're serving money trying to fix your stuff. But if you have a budget, you are in control of the money where it goes. I tell the money where to go. It don't tell me. Here at this church, we tell the money where it goes. People don't tell us where this money goes. For like outside people, they'll come. If we help somebody with a light bill, it inevitably, 3 hours from now, somebody says, I heard y'all helping with light bills. Well, you heard wrong. We helped with a light bill, but not we're not helping with light bills, plural. What kind of church are you? Well, we're a church that budgets. We got so much in the fund, here it is, and we spend it. Could you not help me? No, you didn't understand. We spend it already. Does it make sense? This is so simple. It's elementary, really. It's simple stuff. You got to know where your money's at. If you don't have a budget, how do you know where it's at? If you don't write it down, you can't make enough money to stay out of debt for you to pay all your bills right. You can't make that much money. You'll always be spending on frivolous stuff. Oh, I'm telling you, I knew you were going to receive this message with joy and gladness in your heart. I'm just trying to help you. Look, I want to help not only your spirit, but I want to help you in your finances. Because you come in beat up and beat down over your finances, you're like, woe is me. I hope to take up an offering for me today. And when that offering don't come for you specifically, you say, well, that church just ain't for me. Maybe it is for you. Maybe we need a budget. If God cannot get money through you, let me back. I said that wrong. If God can get money through you, he will have no problem getting money to you. I heard an old preacher one time. Now, this is gospel. I mean, this prosperity gospel is a joke. You hear me? But this is funny, and I'm going to tell you because it's funny. I saw this guy who was a preacher sitting on stage in a big old chair, had a big old top hat on, smoking a big old cigar. That kind of turned me off right there as being a pastor. I don't smoke, okay? Amen. I don't think pastors ought to smoke. Come on. Amen. He's sitting up there. He said, I ain't trying to get money from you. I'm trying to get money to you. He was taking up an offering. And I thought, well, that's kind of wrong, but it's kind of right. It's like, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but that's kind of right. God's trying to get money through. If you will handle it for his kingdom business, you'll have enough. You understand what? You got to handle it for kingdom business as well. Watch this. Proverbs 11:24 says this, there is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul, verse 25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. That's where I get the analogy of the water hose. He wants your soul to prosper. He does, your spiritual side, but he wants you to prosper financially. Why? God needs money to take care of the needs. Now, I know that's against popular theology, but God can do whatever he wants to. He will. Let me give you a little test. you go home and don't pay your water bill or your light bill. Now you got to say you got a job, you're doing, and you don't pay either one of those. You just see what happens. You're going to be in the dark. And you're going to start stinking after a while because they're going to cut your water off. Come on, somebody. This thing about money can be fun. It can be funny. And it can be real. And it makes some of you really nervous. Let me just put you at ease. I'm not taking up an offering at the end of church today. Nor Wednesday, nor next Sunday. We don't take up offerings here. Have you thought about that? When's the last time you've seen the plates passed here in this church? Somebody, has it been in the last 6 months? The only time we pass a plate here is usually when we have a little revival. And they take it up for some, right? Well, how's that possible? Because you know how I feel about money. You know I don't like prosperity preaching, but you know that money is part of the plan, and you give every week. That's how we were able to pay off our building in 6 years. Because you gave, you were allowing money to go through you because you weren't greedy, and you put it in. And when I feel greed coming in my heart, you know what I do? I find somebody to give money to. That'll stop your greed right now in a hurry. Do you hear me? It's like, but I don't like them. You don't? Well, let me help you. Y'all need a relationship like I got with the Lord. We just have fun, okay? About money too. Amen? So the parable, I want to talk to you just a minute. I'm going to close. Lord, I can't close this early. I got 21 minutes. Amen. Can we close that early? Somebody said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Somebody said, that's the Holy Ghost speaking to you. We'll go a little bit more. Parable of the unjust steward. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, the Bible says this. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Verse 11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous, watch, mammon, money, if you haven't been faithful in the little, who will commit to you the trust of the true riches? God won't give you more if he can't handle what you already got. That's why a lot of young people that are 20, 25, and 30, they want what 60-year-old people have got, and they've worked all their life for it, and they think, why can't I have that? I don't know. Maybe because you hadn't managed, you hadn't planned, and now we got a little bit. You know how you don't know those saying about the kids? They say, well, you didn't spend that on us. Yeah, we didn't have any money then. You spent a lot on the grandkids. Yeah, I got a little bit now because you moved out. You feed them now. I feed them occasionally. Come on. And we can do more for them. It seems more, but we're probably doing less because we're not having to feed them and clothe them. And well, I don't know. We clothe them quite a bit, though. Amazon does. Let me tell you this story about I told my wife about Amazon, speaking of money. I said, honey, if you quit buying from Amazon, you give them a 2-week notice because that's going to hurt them a lot. Their income's going down. Do you hear me? Woo! Glory to God. Amen. In verse 11, let me read that again. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your true trust, the true riches? He's saying this true riches right there, if you really look that up, the true riches really means spiritual souls, the spiritual part. He says, if you can't even take care of the money, do you think I'm going to trust you with somebody's spirituality? Do you think I'm going to trust you with winning somebody to the Lord? Do you think I can trust you? If you can't even overcome the money thing, I can't trust you with the true riches, that riches of salvation. That's really what it's saying here. It's not really more money, but along with it, it does come more money. If you can, faithful over the little, we see parables, and we'll get into the next couple of messages. We're going to talk about the faithfulness in taking care of God's things, God's money. Let me help you with some of you here today. Please, I need everybody paying attention that has a checkbook or a credit card. Some of you, do y'all still have checkbooks today, young people? Are there still checkbooks? Okay, there's seven of you in here. Okay. How many of you do, I'm just going to be funny. Can I just be funny? How many of you do not know how to write out a check? Okay, some of you get all flustered. You write a check that's got like $378.22. You're like, what? What was that amount again? I get checks sent back to me. Then my bank will come and say, hey, you didn't fill out that line right. What do you mean? Well, you put 3758 and it should have been 375 and such. Oh, can you send it through anyway? Well, as long as you approve it. Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. Because we don't use checks much anymore. Amen? We use them, but not much. Amen? Come on. Glory to God on a check. Woo. Now, if you, everybody, I'm going to start walking around with a swiper in my pocket on my phone. The square. I want to bless you. Well, here, just bless me. I just happened to let you. I got a device. Bless me. Wouldn't that be cool? Just bless me with 100 right here. I can help you. What do they do now? I'm going somewhere. I'm going to close. What is it? Cash out. How many over 65 knows what cash out is? Okay, so I'm behind times. Okay. How many over 100 knows what cash out is? I got somebody with me. Cash out, Venmo, PayPal, Apple Pay. What? Google Pay? Man, this is so cool. You don't have to carry a wallet. Nah, man, that's just going to mess us up. Do you hear me? But we're headed there. I want you to understand about money. I'm going to close. I want you to understand about money. Please hear me what I'm going to say. You need to learn how to manage money. You need to learn how to take care of money. Because according to the Bible, if money is taking care of you, in other words, controlling you, it's going to be very difficult for you to be an effective Christian. That's what the Bible, I just read it. How can I trust you with the true riches? True riches is not money. Riches will fade. Money stays here when you die. True riches are in heaven. True riches is a gift of salvation. And if I can't trust you, he's saying, if I can't trust you with the little, with this little money thing, I cannot trust you otherwise. So I need you to be trustworthy, church. Amen? I need you to be trustworthy with your finances. You say, well, I don't make a lot. Then you need to budget even harder. Because it's harder to make it on $50 a week than it is $5,000. But you still need a budget at $5,000 because God may have gifted you so you can be a great giver. Well, praise the Lord. Y'all are receiving this so well in your spirit today. I know it's about money. I want you to be prosperous. I would love for everyone in here to be able to say, man, I've got $50,000 in the bank. I'm doing well. My bills are paid. My house is paid off or my car, whatever. And I'm just able to give to the Lord. Wouldn't that be great? Okay, some of you were not that excited about that. So let me try it again. Wouldn't it be nice to have a paid off house and a paid off car and have money in the bank? That's what I said. Yes, Lord. Amen. You still love me? Amen. You didn't come here this on Wednesday? Amen. You're going to come back next Sunday? Because I told you what we're talking about is money. It's going to be different, but it's still talking about money. I do this about every 3 years. I think you need it. Amen. So if you leave here with anything today, this is what I want you to know. You control money. Money does not control you. That's the thing you've got to get today. Go read these passage scriptures. This message will be out next week on Sunday. You can listen to it again. I love you. I could give an altar call for God to drop $10,000 in a white bag on your doorstep, but that ain't happening. Come on, I serve a big God. Oh, he could, but he probably ain't going to. Now, somebody may give you $100 when you walk out the door. I don't know. I'm going to get out there first, though, by the way, if you're wondering. Let me love on you. I'm going to bless you before we go. I'd like to bless you if you're new here. I'd like to bless people before we go. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. I thank you, Lord, for the receptivity, if that is a word, Lord, of your word into our heart and our spirit. Lord, let that resonate in us. Lord, let us know that money is an issue, but it's also a blessing. And so, Lord, we ask that your face would shine upon us, that we would find favor with God and with man, that increase, prosperity, job promotions, and raises would come our way. And, Lord, that peace would rest over every rooftop, that when we lay down this afternoon or this evening, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen and amen. Love you. See you on Wednesday. Ladies' Bible study tomorrow night at 6:00.